Let's start. Isaiah 9, verse 6. God, this is your word. Plant it. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful and Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now I want to tear this thing apart. This is the word that God gave me early Monday morning, is the government shall be upon his shoulder. I need to quit worrying about government. I know where it's located. It's located in the Son of God, Jesus. My question is, what government are we called to? What government should we trust and honor, man's or God's? How many of you know that, generally speaking, in the church, in the Christian community, if there's any kind of problem, man turns to the man's government instead of God's government? And I don't know where we got this theory, and I don't know where we think we can get by with this theory. It's not possible. If somebody decides to sue you tomorrow, you'll run out and hire a lawyer, when the Bible says you have an advocate. We don't trust God enough to defend us in the open court of the world, in the world's atmosphere, that God can actually change circumstances, eliminate situations, create situations in our defense. When it says that the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now, I don't think you want to... I went through every one of these words in these two verses because God didn't give me and start giving me an explanation for this. I had to go search for it in the definitions. And I want to read to you the New Stand Version. After studying all the words, I'm going to read to you what these two verses say. For unto mankind the begotten Son of God, an heir of God, is given. He is given to rule the kingdom. All of the rule and reign is given to him. The responsibility and burden of my children are on him. It is my kingdom, but he will rule it. This is God speaking. What he says goes. His very position and character and name is a miracle, a wonder, one who has all the answers. He will be known as the Most High and all-powerful God. Is that what he's known to you as? The Most High and all-powerful, last word, God. He will be known as the beginning and the end. His rule and reign will bring safety, health, prosperity, favor, soundness of mind, soundness of possessions. These are all from definitions now. I'm not just making this up because it sounds good. He will cause you to be a quiet people, safe from all war. He is the head and source of all peace and all prosperity. He will make all of the decisions and rulings of vindication and chastisement. As my people present their cases to him and cast their cares and faith on him. I'm going to read that again because that's the center of what I want to talk about. He will make all of the decisions and rulings of vindication and chastisement as my people present their cases to him and cast their cares and faith on him. His rulings will be righteous, true, and according to my law. Just, holy, and prosperous. There's a strange part of that definition. His rulings will be prosperous. Because all of his decisions and rulings will be according to my law, the kingdom and those that honor my son will forever see increase and abundant provision. He will put things in order for them. He will put things in order for them. He will establish them and protect and care and provide for them. My son has a passion and a burn to please me. That's what God says about His Son. Therefore, He will do all of these things according to My will. His extreme desire to please Me will cause Him to perform for Me and those that trust Him with their all. He'll not just perform for God, but He'll perform for those that trust Him totally. Now this is from all these pages of definitions. I want to tell you something. This is what God gave me in the nick of time in a situation that I had to face. The first time I pulled this up and I tried to explain this to my wife, she looked at me like I'd hit her with a bat. Like, you know, I've read that scripture before. But towards the Thursday or Friday, after I kept banging her with it, she started repeating it. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Now, everybody tries to stand alone on this scripture. But that's not what we're supposed to do. If this man right over here accuses me falsely or any other way, I am not to get up in his face and scream scripture. That's not how I resist him. I say, okay, come, let's go before the governor. You're a brother, so I can do that. Let's go before the governor. Let's both go with the same scripture. And let's let him make a decision of vindication or chastisement. And I trust you, Lord, even if I'm the wrong one. I'm the wrong one here. Not the wronged one, but I am. I deserve that accusation. I trust Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior, my governor, to say, Stan, he's right. You're wrong. Get straightened up. If he's wrong, the governor, my advocate, the one that sits on the throne and makes all decisions will say, you're wrong. And if you don't straighten up, you're going to meet my chastisement. Now, do we trust God with these kind of things? Can we? Most of us don't like to be told we're wrong. But the Bible says He chastises those that love Him, which is kind of scary. If you're not suffering any chastisement, I wonder if you love God. We don't want to go there, right? Listen, let me give you a practical application other than just that one. Well, let's stay on that one just for a second. What if somebody in the world accuses you? Now, you cannot take somebody in the world before God, or can you? I can, can't I? He doesn't even need to know it. Here's how I can do it. Now this man, he's not a brother. He's got an accusation. I am going to sue you. I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to whatever, blah, 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 that goes around. Now what I can do is I can say, in the Spirit, come with me. We're going to go before the one that loves the Father so much that he's going to make sure he makes a righteous decision. He knows God's Word so much that he can't even do anything but make a right decision. Jesus, this man is trying to destroy me, and you said, here's my case. My heart was pure. I did not intend to hurt anyone. You said that, this is my defense, no weapon formed against me will prosper. And if there's anything in my heart that needs to be straightened out, deal with me. But you've got to deal with him, or you and I are going to get destroyed. You think that would interest Jesus Christ? Would it? I want to try to present to you a different kind of praying. That's what I'm trying to tell you. A different kind of praying. I've looked for, I can't tell you how many years, I have not believed in our standard of prayer. I don't believe in going in to the throne of God and begging. And when God laid this on my heart, all of a sudden I got a new perspective of what I'm supposed to do when I enter into His presence. Number one, I'm supposed to be looking for righteousness and holiness in all situations. That means justice. Amen? And justice doesn't mean I just want you hurt. It means I want the kingdom established. And if I'm wrong, I want you to tell me I'm wrong. You know, we get mad if we go into a courtroom and it turns, if he judges or he determines against us, we kind of get mad and mumble, but we don't say anything. We just accept the judgment and pay whatever. And yet, when it comes to the real life, and we walk in front of the only true righteous judge, are we comfortable in that place? Are we comfortable in taking any decision that he makes as the right one? Now that's one aspect of this. The other is, are we comfortable knowing that this is the only way that we can get the only true righteous judgment? In other words, well, let's move to one other thing. If my body determines that it wants to be the attacker today, did y'all ever have your body attack you? Yeah, everybody here has done that. I mean, you go, oh, I feel terrible. So you don't say, what you should is my body's trying to attack me. That's really what is happening. You say, I feel terrible. You think you might deserve that. You think just because you're human, once in a while you're supposed to get sick. Who convinced you of that? A faithful liar did. A faithful liar did. Your body determines to rebel against the law of God. Now I'm going to get down to it now. Your body has determined to rebel against the law of God. What is the law of God? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Him suffering so that you don't have to. Taking all sickness and disease upon Himself so you won't have to. That is the law of God. Your body decides against that law. Guess what you can do now? You can go to the throne room. You can go to the governor's mansion. You can walk right in and say, my body is trying to rebel against me. Here's my case. Jesus shed His blood, bore bruises and stripes for me. It does not have the right. Would you decide? By the way, who are you talking to? The one that did that. Even though we have to remind Him, He's the one that suffered the bruises and the stripes. It says bring to His remembrance. Does it not do that? You walk right into His presence and you tell Him what He did. Wow, you talk about a good lawyer here. You talk a good lawyer, man. This Jesus was on the scene. Felt the pain. Felt God turn His head away because He had all sin upon Him. He knows this happened. You know what you're doing? You're kind of working Jesus up a little bit. He's kind of getting angry. Because you're telling Him that something is coming against what He did. Is He the Word? Yeah. I tell you, you got a direct connection when you speak the Word to the Word. It's kind of like you've got an inroad, a special place. What's Jesus' decision going to be when you plead your case right? Can I tell you what the legal term is? You win on points of law. It never has to go to a jury. You can win a case, especially if you operate pro se, which is what you would in the court of God's law. You represent yourself, but you take and you present points of law, and the judge has to rule because the law says so. There's no other case. I had a traffic accident one time. Actually, my mom was driving, and there was a policeman killed. I've seen a lot of destruction in my life. His head was removed. Are actually just put all over the pavement. Now, in those cases, there has to be a supervisor come in. They won't let another officer make that determination. That's what God said. I'm bringing in a supervisor to make all my decisions. He's the witness. He'll enforce. Now, when they determined by all the witnesses and by everything that we had nothing to do with the accident, it was totally the policeman's fault. It was written off that way. The witnesses, their statements were taken, and yet lo and behold, the wife of this officer decided to sue for damages. That's why you won't see me have much tolerance for the foolishness that happened with O.J. Simpson. I don't care if he's guilty or innocent. He was ruled innocent. Nobody should have been able to sue him. You can't be innocent and guilty too. And yet our foolish court system ruled that he was innocent and guilty. It also states that in a murder case, if you're tried innocent, you're found innocent, you can't be tried twice, and yet they tried him twice. Do I like O.J.? Didn't say that. I just don't like the law. That's why I like God's law. That's why I want to depend on that. Now, what happened was, is that they coerced all the witnesses and all the policemen to lie and say that we had done something wrong which caused this accident, even though all the statements that were taken suddenly disappeared. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up to you is because this can happen to you any day of the week. If you think you're safe in man's court system, you got another thing coming. Especially if you're dealing with a stacked deck like against policemen or whatever like that. Except unless you're one of God's kids. Now, guess what? How God arranged this situation. There wasn't a supervisor available, so they called a judge that came out and took all the statements and witnessed and saw what happened and figured out. Guess who was in charge of our court? The same judge, the one that had experienced it. He was there when it happened. He let this trial go on and played tic-tac-toe and other things under the table with his secretary, the whole court system. And we thought, our goose is cooked. The guy's not even listening. When it got to the end of the court, end of the trial, he sent everybody out except the jury. You know what he said? He said, I was there. I saw what happened. These people lied. You're not even going to get a chance to return a verdict. Innocent. Now, can this happen? No, what I just described to you, you got about a trillion to one chance of ever happening. And yet God can arrange. Will arrange, not can, will arrange for you whatever it takes for you to be vindicated or chastised if necessary. Now, I'll give you the opposite of this. Jim Baker, when he was building his empire, he got hooked up with the wrong crowd. He started out with a good heart. Now, this is by his confessions, not by my judgment. If you don't believe that, read his book, I Was Wrong. And you'll find out that he got caught up in his own system. He had a bad wife. He had bad friends. They were all, that's right, setting him up by the help of the devil. He did not break any law, but the law put him in jail. Now, according to his testimony, he wouldn't trade that time for anything because it was the best time he ever spent with God. Learned more during jail time than any other time in his life. Now, I gave you two sides of the coin. One where you can be kept out of a situation, vindicated, and one where you can be chastised with a situation. You understand what I'm saying? God is active. Jesus is Lord. He's real. He's ruling. And the more you believe that, the more you can safely walk the face of this earth, not being afraid of what man can do to you. Not being afraid what you can do to you. You know who our biggest enemy is, right? Me. What if I take me into court real often and say, I don't like this guy? We sang about it this morning. I'm just putting it a different way. We sing about it often. Change my heart, oh God. What was the last song? Renewing me a pure heart. That's taking me into the presence of God for me to be judged and chastised and vindicated and corrected. What a place to be. What a place to be. With that in mind, I'm going to read this scripture again. Well, I'll just wait. Let's keep it in mind. How does it work? How does this work? How does the government being upon his shoulders really come down to you and I, down from that huge level down to me and you? We've already talked about some of it. We must trust God. Do you trust God that this is true? That's number one question. Do you trust God that God one day put on Jesus Christ the responsibility of the entire earth, not just to oversee like we're a bunch of sheep, but to oversee you and I individually on a 24-hour-a-day basis? Now, I know that's hard to picture. I ask you, can you believe that? If not, say so anyway until you do. If you have a hard time believing it, you just keep saying, I believe, until you do. That's the way that works. Believe what God says. When we pray, we present a case. Can I just make a suggestion to you? From this point forward, anything you want from Jesus Christ, you back it up by word and present the case. Don't ask Him without basis. Can you start there? I promise you that your horizons will expand tremendously if you'll start with that. Don't ask anything of Jesus Christ in your prayer unless you have Scripture to back it up. And you watch your prayers get not only true but answered. Because He's the judge that was on the site. It don't make any difference whatever happens to you. You remember He took everything that dealt with you upon Himself? Everything. He saw every, he had every feeling of your problem and infirmity. Yours. So when you walk in and remind him of that, he says, oh yeah, we're not going to have a jury trial here. I remember. Boom. It's done. You got an inroad. We must trust the government to make a righteous decision. Now you and I, let me just tell you something. If you trust our government, you are nuttier than a fruitcake. I'm sorry. There's nothing that your government wants to do for you. All they want is you to do for them. And it's getting to where we're in constant defense of the government. We have to defend against our government. So what do we have here? We have a mindset that anytime anybody mentions government, people want to run the other way. I'm telling you about a different type of government. I'm telling you that there's representation in your taxation. I mean good representation, a promise of perfect judgment. Now I know you all think that I have near perfect judgment. I know you think that. But I don't have perfect judgment. I don't have perfect judgment. And it's very difficult for me to understand perfect judgment. But Jesus has it and gives it. He never makes a mistake. He never hears somebody else's story and believes them over you. He knows the facts from the beginning to the end. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We got a safe place to go. We must know that if we go to another court or government, we lose. Did you know that's scriptural? Did you know the Bible says that if you take your brother to court, both lose? I'm not talking about Jesus' court. I'm talking about man's court. So if you take anyone that you consider a brother, or maybe you don't even think he's much of a brother, if he's a professing Christian, and you take him to court, the Bible says you both have already lost. That's the tense it puts in. You both have already lost. Why? Well, it says, man, if you ain't smart enough to figure out that God can do the judging, you're not smart enough to be in court and defending yourself. That's Stan's translation. But anyway. We must know that if we operate independently of government or try to establish our own government, we lose. This is an important one. You know what most problems stem from in Christianity? Not conforming to God's government. Trying to establish your own. How did Satan fall? How did Adam and Eve fall? They didn't believe the true and righteous judgment of the one and only. So what did that mean? That means they wanted to establish their own government. You hearing what I'm telling you? How many of you believe that Jesus is truth? And in Him there is no lie. And there is no shadow of turning. There's no doubt, deception, or darkness of any type. You believe that, right? Okay. When you believe in your heart that there's any other way but the truth, you lie against the truth. You actually come against the truth. You hear that? I hope you heard that. I hope you heard it. If you lie with your mouth, you come against the truth. If you deceive with your actions, you're actually coming against Jesus Christ. How is that going to stand in a court of law? When you try to enter in for your next session with Jesus, how are you going to stand with the judge at that moment? Now, did you hear that one? I'll say it again if you didn't. If I'm loose with the truth, if I don't much care, you know, if you call me up, and you get my wife, and you say, I'd like to speak to Stan, and she says, well, he's busy right now, and it's not the truth, she just came against Jesus Christ. Did you say that Jesus was the truth? Come on. If you're in the restroom, if I'm in the restroom, my wife needs to say, he's in the restroom. Not that he's busy right now. Just be honest. Or even better than that, I don't think he wants to talk to you. Watch me make provisions for talking to you next time if she does that. Because if I'm back in the corner going, then she said, hey, he don't want to talk to you. Ooh, I won't do that next time. She would have taught me not to come against the truth. Now I'm going to say one more time. If I have a record, if I have a track record of being a lawbreaker that stands against the truth and the judge is the truth, that means I've been standing against him, I've been offending him. Where am I standing the next time I walk into court and ask for anything? Yeah, he's not going to be smiling at me. You're the one that keeps coming against me. No, 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 not me. I've done this and that in your name. But you lied in my name. And you told people that was the truth. You slandered me. I may file a suit against you personally. You're going to get chastised. Why? Because it's still the truth. And he can't speak. Do you know that Jesus... Listen, I know this is hard to understand, but Jesus cannot speak anything but the truth. He cannot. He can't make anything but a righteous decision. His love for God is so strong that it would, even if he wanted to, it would prevent him from doing it.
There is only one resolution to all of life. The government.
Bet you never heard me... Bet you never thought I'd be saying that. There's only one resolution in all of life, and that's the government. The one that's been put on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. Do you know what the shoulders mean? That means the place of carrying the burden. That's all it means. It doesn't literally mean the shoulders. It means he is the one that carries the burdens. How does it work? Let's keep going. How does it work? 1 Peter 5 and 6. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now listen, this is the key to operating in the government of Jesus Christ. I don't care what your problem is. Where are you to take it? Huh? Casting your cares upon him. Then he will exalt you. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Did you know the very act of him caring for you exalts you? According to this scripture? The very act of him caring for you exalts you. Caring for you exalts you. I love this. You guys may think this is a little boring, but I'm just giving you the keys of life and that more abundantly. I know this is the truth because God laid it on me heavy. And it took me a number of days before I could get it out where she could understand it. I feel like the same way right here. Mark 11, 25. You remember this. We talked about this. We had a prelude to this that choked about half of you when I said you're not supposed to forgive anymore. I'm finally beginning to get some understanding of what I meant by that. If I have to go before the judge, the governor, and I bring this man in for false accusation, I'm not supposed to forgive him. I'm supposed to turn him over to Jesus Christ. Let me read it to you. When you stand praying, forgive. I told you that's a wrong interpretation, and I'll read you the definition in a minute. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. The word is loose. When you stand praying, loose. If you have anything aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may loose you your trespasses. Do you want righteous judgment in the court of law? You better take somebody into the court of law and give them to God. The biggest mistake Christians make is they try to forgive. The most difficult thing in the world is to try to forgive somebody. It's the most difficult thing in the world. It takes you months. It takes you years. When in reality, if we had learned to loose, we're not in charge of forgiving anymore. Now Jesus Christ is in charge of the vindication or chastisement, the sentence or the non-sentence. Let me give you the definition. Oxford Dictionary, pardon or let off. That's the way the English understands it. God's Dictionary. This is the Strong's Dictionary defining the original language. To send forth or to yield up. To send forth or to yield up. You got to get this. We walk into the court of law. Harry and I, we've been fighting like cats and dogs. I can't stand this man. He can't stand me. I can't forgive him. He can't forgive me. Every time he sits on that side of the church, I sit on that side. I don't talk to him. I want nothing to do with him. Do you know what he did to me? No, and I don't want to. Take him to God. Take him there. What happens when I take him there? Release him there. But guess what happens when I take him there? I got to go too. That's exactly right. I got to go, and guess what else? I got to loose myself in front of the judge and trust him to decide who's wrong, maybe both, who's right, maybe both, and the remedy of this thing. I don't have to worry about forgiving him anymore. I may have this... Have you ever been around somebody that something happens to them and the story gets bigger and bigger and bigger over time? That kind of happens in humanity. So if I don't learn to loose and I try to forgive, the problem may get bigger and not smaller. I don't have to forgive it. Because you know what? All right, you and I go in there, man. We've been fighting like cats and dogs. We can't stand each other. We go in there, and he gets after both of us. Do you know what happens then? My focus now turns off of you onto me. Because I'm going, oh, man. God's got me right where he wants me. My eyes off of him, on him. Great things can happen in the court of God. Tremendous things can happen. Well, you don't mind my children. Drag them into court. Present your case. What would be the case there? God kill them? I don't think so. A promise from God. You promised me that if I raised them in the way they should go, you promised me, God. This is yours. Is this not your writing, God? He says, I stand convicted. It's done. It is law. I say it's law. It's done. You hear what I'm saying? Man, it can revolutionize the way we pray, the way we think, the way we walk into the presence of God if I'm actually turning situations, problems, people, health, finances. Do you know the finances of this world can attack you? They can just withdraw themselves. The finances can withdraw itself from you. You walk into the presence of God. Jesus Christ, the one that paid the price for that life and that more abundantly. Say, does not your word say, I have an attacker. It's called lack, want, and need. Does not your word say, Jesus, I trust you. If I'm doing something to cause this, you correct me. If not, kill that thing. I'll have no part of it. You cursed that fig tree when it was in lack. Now I ask you to curse this situation. That's my case. I'll wait for the manifestation. I'll wait. I'll wait at your feet. I'll wait in praise. No matter what I see, I trust your judgment. We could really be a peculiar people if we'd start this. If we intend to prosper and be in health, then we must proclaim that Jesus is in charge. Not people, not circumstances, not feelings. We do not defend or make happen. You and I do not defend or make happen, but cast our cares and troubles and future onto the government, the true government, Jesus. He will decide right. He will decide wrong. He will vindicate. He will chastise. He will establish and prosper right. He'll establish and prosper righteousness and chastise wrong. Now, I don't know about you, Harry, but I like to chastise sometimes. I do. I like to get back. I mean, our family crest should have said, they don't get mad, they get even. However you say that in Latin. That's what I was drummed into my head. And when I go into the court, let me tell you something. I'm not having near the problem of turning something loose. It's walking away. Because I want a pound of flesh. I want a piece of that hombre. I want to see this guy not only defeated, but stomped into the ground, nothing but a big bloody pool of pulp right here in front of me. That's kind of the way I'd take it. So there's two people I have to deal with, them and me. There's two situations I have to deal with, the situation and this situation. You know what happens? Let me tell you something. I promise you, prayer is easily misused. When you make a presentation in court, you be prepared and it won't be wrong. And here's what's going to happen. When you walk into the presence of Jesus Christ, everyone's corrected. Everything is corrected. So it's very beneficial for me to take all of my cases right into his presence. Oh, this is good. You better act like this is good because it is. It is good. It's from God. I didn't make this up. He beat me up with it all week long, and I enjoyed every bit of it. I really did. Over and over, some situation would come up, and I'd say, well, take it to the government. Turn it over to the government. She goes, he's on something, man. Yeah, he ate some of those funny mushrooms. Which government rules for you? God or man's? Which government is designed to rule over you for its benefit? God or man? When your body wants to be sick, it's presenting a case of rebellion. Bring it to God. Have y'all ever been in court, presented your case? Let me tell you something. If you don't have something to present, you'll get thrown out of there so fast your head will swim. You better have your poop in a group. You better have it. What do I mean by that? I mean you better state some law quickly, or there's other cases that's got to be handled. You know what? It's amazing. Those judges get so smart alecky. They don't want to hear foo-foo. They didn't want to hear a bunch of pretty words. They want you to tell them what you're there for and what you expect. That's Jesus Christ. What are you here for? What you want from me? I want to please God, Jesus would say. What do you want? And the minute you whip out the Word of God, it's settled. Now the only thing is the settlement. Who needs to be corrected? Who needs to be directed? What needs to be said? What needs to be done? When someone tries to cheat you, does you wrong, threatens you with man's rights and laws, do you hire a defender? Or do you present your case to God's court and trust that Jesus wants what is best for you and will make it happen? See, now that's the difference between God's government and man's government. The judge will sit there and make a ruling, and he don't really give a rip how it happens. Jesus Christ backs up his judgments. He says, you know what? You know what? I find that the devil has been destroying you by lack, want, and need. I'm not only going to curse that, Jesus would say, I'm going to provide for a change. I'm going to make provisions. I'm going to direct your feet right into provisions. Because you came to me. I have no other choice. That's what the Scripture says. When the devil teaches you that poverty's okay because someone has to do it, well, isn't that kind of the way somebody has to be poor? Well, see, it's best for Christians to be poor, but be poor because of humility. It keeps you humble. No, it keeps God looking bad. Do you respond with the Word as your case, or depend on the governor to provide and defend, or do you try to make a way for yourself? Now, I got a whole bunch of categories here: divorce, marriage, children, wife, peace. Can't you think of some problems you got? Why do I have to suggest your problems? You know what problems they are. Why don't you present it, your case, to Jesus Christ? The only way you're going to know the law is to read the law and study the law and be quick to respond in the law when there's a situation that comes up. Jesus, you see what this guy's doing? I'm bringing him to you. Your word says, and I guarantee you won't get much of that out of your mouth till the gavel comes down and the judgment's made. I'm going to read this to you again, then we'll be through. My Stan's translation, and I want you to listen. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read pretty much down those two scriptures. If you want to try to follow me, if not, I'm going to explain every one of these definitions to you until you understand. So you know it's not just my idea. Maybe I just give them to you. For unto mankind the begotten Son of God and heir of God is given. He is given to rule the kingdom. He is given to rule. It doesn't say he was given the rule. He was given to rule. That's his very purpose. Do you understand why? Adam and Eve had given away the rule. Jesus came first to take it back and then to rule. All of the rule and reign is given to him. The responsibility and burden is on him. Can we get this one down? The responsibility and burden of righteousness is not on you and I. Our righteousness is in him, in his court, in the Word. Then the burden is on him. It is my kingdom, God says, but he will rule it. What he says goes. His very position and character and name is a miracle, a wonder, one who has all the answers. He will be known as the most high and all-powerful God. How are we ever going to get the world to know him as the all-powerful God if we don't take them to court? You know what we do? We got taught that we can just go around and command all day long and never take them to God, and we can't figure out why about 2% of our prayers are answered in our commands. You know where my command needs to be? Now, this sounds a little strange, but it needs to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. What is my command? The Word of God. The promises of God. That's my command. That's more than my command. That's my stand. That's my case presented. The beginning and the end. His rule and reign will bring safety, health, prosperity, favor, soundness of mind and possessions. He will cause you to be a quiet place, safe from all war.
He is the head and source of all peace and prosperity. Verse 2. He will make all the decisions and rulings of vindication and chastisement. As my people present their cases to Him and cast their cares and faith on Him, His rulings will be righteous, true, according to my law, just, holy, and prosperous. Because of His decisions. This is what blew me away in this definition. Because of these righteous decisions. Now, if that works for Jesus, will it work for you? Because of these decisions and rulings will be according to my law, because they're according to God's law, the kingdom and those that honor my Son will forever see increase and abundant provision. That's a promise. Starts off in your second verse there, or the seventh verse, of the increase, there will be no end. He will put things in order for them. He will establish them and protect and care and provide for them. My Son has a passion and burn to please me. Therefore, He will do all these things according to my will. His extreme desire to please me will cause Him to perform for me and for those that trust Him with their all. Now listen, if that works for Jesus, will it work for you? So if you have an extreme desire to please Him, not only will Jesus perform for you, you will perform for God. The kingdom will be established. The kingdom will prosper. You will prosper. The kingdom will prosper. It's not all about us. It's about the kingdom. Amen? Let's stop trying to make God's word work. Anya? Mark? Stan? Let's stop trying to make God's word work. Don't act like you don't do that, because I do it. There's nothing unusual to man. Everything's common. Let's stop trying to make God's word work. Let's present our case by the word, back up, stand, and watch the zeal of the Lord work for us. This is the most important statement I've made all day, right here. Christians really try to slam the word against situations instead of taking it back to its owner and presenting it as a case. Our court is supposed to be the law enforcement officer in our government, not these little things that walk up and down the street in funny uniforms. They're not supposed to be law enforcement officers. That's a lie from hell. Our Constitution walks totally against that. They're peace officers. They're supposed to make the peace. The court informs the law. Why? I mean, enforces the law because they're the one that owns the law. They go to school. They study the law. They know the law. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let's stop trying to make God's word work. Let's present our case by the word. Here it is. You wrote it, but I'm reminding you. See? You see paragraph, line, so-and-so? You see what that says? I want it applied. Let's present our case by the word. Let's back up. That's what you do. When you've presented your case, you get back, sit down. Then we stand. What do I mean by stand? I mean you stand firm. You believe this. You believe you presented your case. You believe God's for you, not against you. All right. And watch the zeal of the Lord work for us. This is an exciting thought. This is an exciting thought to me. Let's watch the zeal of the Lord work for us. Isn't that what your Bible says? Doesn't it say the zeal will cause Him to perform this? Let me turn back there so I don't misquote. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Perform means make it happen. I'm going to tell you something. Whether I sweat the right sweat or spit the right spit, I gave you truth today. I gave you truth today. And I promise you, from this point forward, if you'll talk to each other about taking it to court, things will change in your life. Because the thought will be there. If when you have a pain, you realize that's a rebellion against the Word of God, you take it to court, leave it there, and watch the zeal of the Lord perform it. Do you understand somebody is going to... No. Let me say this differently. Everyone in this place will appear in the court today, tomorrow, and the next day. Because if you don't drag that bugger into the court of Jesus Christ, he'll drag you into the court of Satan. Are you hearing me? You're going to end up in court today. You're going to end up in court tomorrow and every day the rest of your life. Because the tempter is going to come. The accuser is going to accuse. The one that owns all the sickness and disease is going to try to deliver some to your doorstep.
And if you don't know the word and present it to the righteous judge, you're going to stand in front of the unrighteous judge. And believe me, you don't have a snowball's chance in hell, because that's where he resides, of ever winning there. You can take the accuser into the presence of Jesus Christ and he will melt, or you can be drugged into the hot court and you'll melt. You know what the best defense is? An offense. Hey, you know what I own? I own one of the most offensive things on the face of the earth. Very offensive, Harry. Very offensive. To you, it's a direction, offensive direction. To you, to the Satan, to your enemy, to your accuser, it is the stinkingest thing he ever ran into. He just can't defeat it. It's very offensive to him. He hates it. He hates it. Amen? That's right. Puts all the blame right back on him. And it's done righteously. And you know, not even Satan can defend against righteousness, because it's the truth. Will he lie back to you? Yeah, I guarantee you he will. He'll lie right back to you. You just stand and watch the zeal of the Lord perform. Hallelujah. You all stand. Now I'm going to tell you, you probably need to get this tape and listen to it a bunch. You really do, because I don't consider this the most exciting message that I ever gave to you, but I do consider it one of the most valuable. And if my wife is faithful, she won't let me forget this, and if I am, I won't let her forget it. We will.